You're listening to Geekologist Radio, Minnesota, part of the Mulehorn Gaming Network. Now,
shut up and sit down.
Welcome to Geekologist Radio. This is a minisode about the Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I got it. All right. With me today is Brandon Fouts. Say what's up.
What's up?
And to my right, also, well, in Skype chat, we got Christopher Nunes, also better known as Two Wolves. That was him saying hello. He's also a few bourbons in, so just saying. This could be interesting.
Nice.
Damien, I am your father.
As I can say, yeah, it's going to get interesting. It's deep. We're rolling deep here tonight. It's going to be a conversational cast. We're flying by the seat of our pants. We thought about talking about doing a script, but we said screw that, we're throwing that out and we're just going to roll with it. So with that, I'm going to actually ask Chris, what do you think of the what do you think of it?
Super hyped. They showed Vader. That was enough. Done. That's all I needed. I told you earlier, like, the breathing or a shot, and I got both. I'm good to go.
Yeah, that was really awesome. Brandon, what do you think about it?
To quote somebody that we all know, it was amazing!
So during this, we started breaking down some of the stuff that was going on in there. One thing that we looked up was Mads Mikkelsen. I just totally screwed his name up, but, you know, the bad guy from the first James Bond movie. He plays Jin's father in this, and you can't tell who he is unless you look at the eyes. That's the only way you can tell. And he's the guy in the trailer that's shooting the rocket at the AT-AT. And it's just, oh, it looks good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, you can see him. He's in easily, when we were looking at the clips, probably three or four scenes. And he's got that tank on the back. I'm still curious about what the tank is. Like, I told you guys my theory. I really think that he's a bounty hunter of some sort. And that's what we're going to find out, in, you know, down the line on this. But really, really cool, and it's almost like an Iron Man type color, like it's got that red and gold thing going on. So I'm just kind of excited to see what he does. It looks like he's trying to help the Alliance, so like we'll see.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see if they include more Mandalorians into the storyline. What do you think, Brandon, about the fact that they are adding in a character from Clone Wars, and that's the character that Forrest Whitaker's playing?
I think it's amazing. I just love the way that they're tying everything together. They're trying to keep all the loose ends out of the way and bring everything back together again. So that way it's, you know, one seamless transition from the horrible thing that is called Phantom Menace all the way up to episode 9.
When Brandon told me who it was, I did a Who's Your Daddy. I was jumping up and down. I was like, it's Sajera. What? And I got really excited just because, like, it's really cool because we watch that now, you know what I mean? Like, and to bring that, I mean, we all know Clone Wars, to me personally, it was just, like, I'd prefer to forget it. But the cartoon series, kind of a different story for me. Like, I really enjoyed it just because my kids. Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, my kids are into it.
Do you guys think that it's just, you know, how this is a trailer and that maybe they haven't put CGI and that stuff in? Do you think that, because the scarring's different, and he doesn't have the blue eyes. Do you think they're just gonna say, we just decided to go this way with him? It's our version of the character, or do you think that we might, when the actual movie comes out, he might have the blue eyes that he had in the Clone Wars?
I think it's a transition. There could be a part. There could be a part where he has the hair, and we were just talking about that, where he does have the hair originally, and then you can see it shaved. Maybe there's a transition for him as a character, and then all of a sudden that's what occurs. So it might be initially where he doesn't have that coloring in the eyes, and then, you know, his character eventually does.
I think it's a flashback.
That could be.
That's cool. Yeah.
So what part of this trailer actually kind of like got you like goosebumps or anything like that? What was that part of it for you guys?
For me, it was when they said that the Imperial flags fly everywhere, and then you see the Star Destroyers. And it just harkened back to watching the last episode that we just saw and seeing them all in sand dunes. So, like, we see them at their lowest point, and then we'll see them, you know, getting to their height. And to me, it just, when you're watching the Imperial Forces and they're starting to rev up, like, this is the part that gets me excited about this movie.
For me, it was watching them finish the Death Star and then hearing, you know, a weapons test is imminent. I'm like, oh my God, this is happening. This is happening. Yes!
It was, with me, it was hearing the music, like that fine undertone of music just kind of hitting in the background while you hear the characters talking. It's just, it they play on your memory, they play on your emotions, saying, hey, here's a familiar tone, we're going to change it just a little bit in its cadence, and, you know, just remember what you felt, now, boom, look at this. And I'm going to throw my gauntlet down. And I could get a lot of hate on this. Send your hate mail to geekologistradio@gmail.com. But honestly,
care of Damian Nash.
Yes. So I kind of feel like, I mean, now, mind you, trailers are one thing. We all know Suicide Squad, Batman versus Superman. Trailers can look amazing. The movie can fall flat. We're hoping, I'm hoping at least, that this sticks up with the way the trailers are looking. If it manages to do that, I dare say that this could be the best Star Wars movie out of the entire film series and expanded universe. That is me saying I'm really hyped for this, and I want to see it be that way because I love the grittiness that we're seeing in the trailers.
Remember, you can send those to geekologistradio@gmail.com.
Holy crap, he actually got it right.
I don't know about the best, but I definitely have my interest perked. We were talking about this offline, about this being a heist movie. Like, this is a heist movie. This is about somebody going to take papers and getting them eventually to Princess Leia, because that's where this leads to. They're getting the blueprints for the Death Star, and they get them so that they can help the Alliance eventually try to take down the Death Star. The other moment for me, and I'm going to go back to that question, when we saw the TIE fighter raise up and mm-hmm. she's running with a gun and she's hobbling when she's doing it. I watched it back again another, and it was like she's kind of staggering as she goes to it. And literally all she has is a hand cannon. She has like Solo's hand cannon in her hand. I'm like, what are you doing? This is the TIE fighter. He's going to just mop you really quickly. So I kind of wonder what's going to happen in that scene. But yeah, I'm really excited just because the heist thing has me, because it'll have a plot. You know what I mean? Like, not that Star Wars doesn't have a plot, but maybe it'll be a little bit more intricate than a typical Star Wars movie, I guess.
I think they're going to tie into Episode 4, and I think we're going to see R2-D2. So that way, it'll show the rogue agents giving the plans to R2-D2, and then R2-D2 would, you know, presumably go on and meet up with Leia, and then that would pretty much go into Episode 4.
That would be cool.
What do we think about Alan Tudyk's his kind of Hulk-esque droid?
You're lucky my master says that. Yeah, like that was really cool when he had that line. And when I first heard it, I was like, wow, that sounds like 3PO for like a second, but he's a little too BA to be 3PO. You know what I mean? Like, he's a lot bigger.
He almost sounds like Baymax.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it does sound... Yeah, a little bit. Except for this Baymax wants to rip you limb from limb. I mean, that... Just saying. It sounds good.
It could happen.
It could. You could. I mean, you know.
So, when I'm rewatching this again, Donnie Yen is in this movie as... he's a chair... Is it Imwe?
I think so.
And is he a Jedi?
That's what I was wondering.
Or is he just Force...
Sensitive?
Like, sensitive. Because he appears to be blind, like, yeah. You know what I mean, and like he wipes out stormtroopers, like it, I don't know if that's just a quick cut scene and it was like, okay, we're gonna show you one thing and then we're gonna show you another, but man, he wipes out a ton of people in a really short period of time. Well, it looks like
the first trailer, you see that scene a little in a different angle, and you see mm-hmm. him just he's just spinning around, but he spins that staff.
Donatello.
There's a character that spun his lightsaber just the same way. He fights almost in the same style as Darth Maul.
Oh, yeah.
And so... Yeah,
that makes sense.
I mean, I would love for him to actually be some, like, hidden Jedi or former fallen Jedi or something like that, because... But I don't know if he'd be fallen, because he, you know, when he says, you know, when he talks about the Force, that wouldn't be what I'd say a fallen Jedi. I would love for him to show up and be a gray Jedi, because those guys are, you don't know who they are, whose side they're on. They're after everybody.
So it's really cool. They show a quick scene of Mon Mothma too. Like, that was really nice. Like, it was real quick. Like, they just showed her at the table real fast. And you know that she's against Palpatine, but, like, is she against Palpatine because she's against Palpatine, or is she against Palpatine because she has ulterior motives, and even though she's, like, with the Republic, she has another angle that she's trying to go for?
So that one would be that's one of those things that, you know, if for whatever reason they are able to change that up, that would be really be something that would be a bomb, because, you know, coming from the original movies and stuff like that, that's like the one of the main leaders of the rebellion. So that would be something that would just that's a sledgehammer to the kneecaps right there. That's like going back to Misery.
It is. I just thought it would be really cool if they kind of changed some, you know what I mean, if they can rearrange a few plot points to make things a little bit different, because they're going to have to find ways to expand this world. And if they're going to try to do that with the prequels, you're going to have to find other people that can carry movies, and so, or other plot lines. And so I was just thinking in terms of this being one of them. Speaking of other people in plot lines, how about Lando in the Han Solo flick? Isn't that kind of cool?
That is very awesome. Like I still, you know, we were talking offline about this. This is what I think. I think that you know, Harrison Ford, his character supposedly is on a break. He's even been said that, you know, Han Solo is not done yet, which is intriguing. We don't know how we're going to see this to play out. But what I think is, I think you're going to be in a cantina, and Lando is going to be drinking, and he's going to be telling stories about Han Solo. And that it's going to do the typical George Lucas thing, where it fades in and it goes into another scene, and it's going to go into young Han. And I mean, what if this is like a bromance movie? You have young Han and young Lando in doing some missions together. That could be pretty cool.
That actually would be really cool. I think that this is a buddy movie originally with Lando and him, and then Chewie comes in at some point where he has the life debt. Then eventually that he has to pay.
Oh, God, that would be a perfect start point, because everybody, you know, if you've read the comic stuff, you see variations of that storyline. That would be, but, you know, for the people that are just the ones who go to see the movies, that would actually be really cool for them to see how that all went down.
Yeah, I think it would be really cool. And I for me personally, and I know that other people that might not feel this way, but I know Billy Dee, we were talking, is going to be in the next movie in 8. But it'd be really cool if he made a guest appearance at some point in this film. Just for me personally, he played such a key role, you know, turning on them and then eventually helping them in the originals. Mm-hmm. So, and his character was just so slick. Like, it was just really slick.
Yeah.
And he plays like a smuggler too. Like, he just he turned on Han, and it was just like, well, you know what, it is what it is. I try to help Cloud City. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, what else do you want me to do? So.
Yeah, it's he plays a scoundrel, and that's you know, he does it well.
Do you think Maz is going to be in this film in Rogue or not?
In Rogue, I don't think she will be.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know on that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if she would have like a guest appearance at some point, or if she would just make a quick appearance, just because of how important her character was in 7. And so apparently she goes way, way back, although nobody knows that she goes way, way back.
I think if you saw her, you would probably see her more. She'd probably have more of a role in the Han Solo film. I think that's where we're going to see that more happen.
That definitely makes sense.
I can see it showing up there. I don't see it showing up in Rogue One.
Yeah, that might convolute the storyline a little too much. So, So, Brandon, we're going to go off here just a little bit off of the trailer thing here. And so we have a kind of theory here. All right. We're going to talk our theories. Brandon, what's your theory on Rey's backstory?
Okay. So my theory is that Rey is the reincarnation of Anakin Skywalker, that she was a Force baby that Luke discovered when he was, you know, training the new order of Jedis. So that is my theory. There's some other guy in here who's got a stupid theory. That's my opinion. That go ahead. I'll let you talk about your stupid theory.
So my theory is that Rey is both an Obi-Wan and a Skywalker. My theory is that they're in the Obi-Wan standalone film. We're going to find out that he took a wife and that the child, that he has a daughter, and the daughter winds up being the mother of Rey and Luke's wife. And so that would make Rey both an Obi-Wan and a Skywalker, ultimately meaning that the Obi-Wan is the one that the movie is about. The movie winds up being, the whole series is about Obi-Wan bringing balance to the Force, not a Skywalker. Although you could say that she's a Skywalker too. But I think that she is both an Obi-Wan and a Skywalker. That's my view. I could totally be wrong. But the nice thing about this is, so we got a little bit of a bet going. So if I win, Mr. Fouts is going to send me a bottle of whiskey. If Fouts wins, I send one to him. If neither one of us wins, Mr. Two Wolves himself up here, he gets a bottle of bourbon.
That would be fantastic. I'm rewatching this trailer again, and the AT-ATs in that tropical island are so ridiculous.
So I want to know. How many times have you watched this now?
I'm watching. Oh, you know, listen, I could probably watch it another 30 times and still be content.
Yeah, I'm at 10.
Yeah. I'm watching the AT-ATs just because the tropical island thing I think is really cool. We talked about some of the stormtroopers just barreling through the water.
Oh God, yeah. So you see the stormtroopers come in, and we were talking also offline about how the stormtroopers they want to keep things like an up to date look, but they really have to be careful with what they do so that they don't make them look too technologically advanced in comparison to the ones that are in the original trilogy, and that's a fine line to walk because. You know, I mean, looking at the AT-ATs alone, you know, we see those and we're like, wow, these are amazing. They're not toys. They look like they're right there in front of you. And so I mean, how do you think that they should keep, you know, where's the fine line that they have to draw the line in the sand, so to speak, of what we do with our characters versus keeping true to the original trilogy?
I think they have to be super careful just based upon the fact that we just saw a guy shoot a rocket launcher, and I never saw that in 4, 5, and 6. So, like, I'm watching an AT-AT go down with a rocket launcher.
But you but see we're, it in Clone Wars.
That, I was going to say, you do see it in Clone Wars. Now, do we think that we might see... Do we think that we might actually see some... Like, because in Rebels, there's some groups of clone troopers that are still left alive. Do we think that we might find some actual clone troopers that have turned and are fighting for the rebels? Do we think that might be something that we see as like a hidden little gem in this film?
We're going to need something because right now it doesn't look like there's a ton of Jedi in this movie. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't look like the help is coming from the Jedi. It looks like
there
it's coming
no
from
Jedi,
it.
Though.
Yeah, there isn't Jedi right now. There's very few Jedi right now because that the one thing that we could see, which would be awesome, because we know Rebels... is jumping forward. Rebels is jumping forward, and they're going to have, we're going to see an older cast, right? So do you think that we might see some characters from Rebels appear in Rogue One? Because that would kind of put them, they would put them in a timeline roughly where they could start maybe showing up, and they could be helping out on the side.
I don't really know, like we're guesstimating on plot lines, which is like we can kind of see like where some of it is going.
Yeah.
But then others, it's like there's so many holes, which is great because and this is going to go back to just the trailer part itself. Episode 7 was this way. The trailer was just enough to wet my appetite and just not enough for me to know what the hell was going on.
Yep.
So, like, and this is exactly the same exact thing. I get that they're going after the plans for the Death Star. I have no idea what the frick is going on after that. So, like, it's all guessing up until that point. And because it's Star Wars, there's no canon that will allow us to figure that out. Like, we're kind of pulling at straws. But it's cool. It's really cool.
So, one of the other things that goes on is, so in the original trilogy, they talk about many Bothan spies died getting these plans to us. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I've seen this. Now, in this trailer, they show a wicked cool little, like, looks like a gerbil kind of alien guy just blowing the hell out of things. I think that character is going to be my favorite character just because he looks awesome. You know, you give him a little like, a little goofy voice, and I'm all about that. I didn't see any Bothans. And with that being such a major point when Mon Mothma, I can't say her name right. My geek.
Mon Mappa?
Yeah. So when she says that, you know, everybody's like, okay, you know, and you can look up, and they're like these dog-faced aliens. Everybody knows what a Bothan is. But, you know, we don't see any in the trailer. However, there is signs that they're saying that they're going to put them in there. So maybe we will see Bothan spies dying, getting the information to the Rogue Squad. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that's what they're going to do? Or do you think that they're just going to say they're going to leave it open to these guys, to the Rogue guys being the ones that are dying off?
Like, I really think that they'll probably, what I think they're doing is they're keeping these characters kind of off. Like, we know or have a gut feeling that these guys are going to be that they're going to be in this movie, but you don't want to, you know, show your hand too quickly on this kind of stuff because of where the plot line can go if they're involved. Mm-hmm. And so what I think is that you're going to see them as support, probably not as a main, you know, not as main support, but they will be support of some sort. Just like when you watch some of the other films where you see, and I know this sounds like this is so terrible, but Ewoks, you know what I mean? Like,
I love Ewoks. Don't even go there. I love Ewoks. They're like my favorite characters.
But you know what I mean? Like support, but not really support. Do you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing.
But if it wasn't for the Ewoks, they wouldn't have made it.
Hey, you know what? You know what? They're not support. They got two of their own movies. They may have been made for TV, but you know what? Lucasfilms did them. I own those two. Wicked is awesome. I want to see the best thing in the world would be a Sith Ewok.
A Sith Ewok?
That would be interesting.
That would be awesome. He'd be jumping around like Yoda.
Did you know that Ewoks have a secret language? Dinny dot boop? Listen.
The bourbon, the bourbon is coming.
Just listening to this one and not the last episode, you need to go listen to our last episode to fully understand and respect the Binny Op Boop.
The other thing that I'm really hoping out of this movie is this is like Star Wars Top Gun, because that's what I want. I want. Give me some flight. I'll tell you what. My youngest is a huge Star Wars fan, but going into Episode 7, because he's a little bit younger, just didn't appreciate some of the finite like details that were brought into it. Just because he's a kid, you know what I mean. He expects to see a lot of fight scenes and whatnot. And so I'm kind of hoping that this plot is brought by a lot of dogfighting. Like, I would love to see that. Like, it would, because that's kind of reminiscent of how four, five, and six were. So I'm hoping, and just from the trailer now, you're seeing a lot of gunfire, and it has a lot of the feel of Episode 1, 2, and 3 as far as the gunfire is concerned, because there was a ton in 1, 2, and 3. But right. I'm hoping not the crappy CGI that comes with 1, 2, and 3, and more of like the, you know, how 7 was. So I think it's in good hands.
Yeah, it's that scene on the beach, even though it's tropical, it reminds me of like the opening scene, of Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's what they're going for, but it hits you like this is war. This is Star Wars, but this is war. This is not your the light side, the dark side. This is just you're in space and you're fighting a war, bad versus good. And I just love the grittiness of it, like the filming and stuff. I hope the whole thing's done that way because it's captivating. And it's, you know, not saying that the other movies aren't captivating, but it's just this is different. And in this case, I think different is good.
I hope that they come up with something for Felicity Jones's character where there's a continuation of some sort into other films. Because it seems like this is an origin story for her, obviously, because we don't know a whole lot about her. I mean, it's not like from a kid. I don't think we're going to get flashbacks, but I think that we'll kind of get, you know, where she is in life right now moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of hope that they are able to use her character in other films, whether that be the solo film, whatever it is, whatever they're deciding to do with it, where there's a path that cross of some sort. Or like Brandon was talking about, where he had a kind of an idea of who she may or may not be in the future.
My guess is she's Captain Phasma. Just that's my guess. And that,
she's too honestly, short. I think
platform shoes.
Platform shoes.
You're too tall. You wouldn't understand. Anyways, but yeah, I think that's who she is. Honestly, I think it's deep undercover still. She's still playing that undercover agent. Because, I mean, if you think about it, Finn got let go real easy, and she really didn't pursue it too much. Any type of military-type commander would have been like, oh, no, I'm going to take you there personally, not just, go ahead and get checked out, blah, 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 whatever.
What if some sort of combination of her and down the road and parent of Rey or something, yeah, just like some type of tie.
Wait she's a second, super, do you have your own theory about Rey that you want to enter into this bet that we have going on?
No, here? I'm just throwing it out there.
It
I'm just
sounds
to,
real close.
I'm just trying to find some version of a connection on why we care about her. You know what I mean? Aside from the fact that she leads a squadron that eventually takes the blueprints of the Death Star to Princess Leia, there's got to be some other subplot for her. Maybe it's a coming of age, like I used to be bad and now I'm good. I mean, if you see her on the ship, which you mentioned the ship, Saving Private Ryan, it has that feel of like when they come out of the tank, when the doors open up and she's standing right there and she's like looking at her crew and she has that proud look on her face for a second, like I'm leading this, or this is, you know, these guys are following me now, that sort of thing. She goes from cocky to maybe less cocky, or maybe, you know, more a believer in whatever it is that she's being told. I don't know what it is, but I'm hoping there's some type of turn for her character that leads, like I said before, into
growth.
Something. Growth. Yeah.
As long as it's not the only thing that ever got me about. See, I actually love, or not love, but I liked Anakin's character, but I didn't like the whininess of him. That also kind of transferred over to Kylo Ren. But as long as we don't do anything like that with this character, if she's cocky, I can handle that. That's kind of a solo thing. That would be kind of cool, you know. Cocky is one thing, but as long as we've had enough whininess, we don't need any whininess anymore. We need, you know, you can have brooding, we can have all that stuff, just no temper tantrums and lightsabers flashing through things.
I think there's two places this could go from the 4, 5, and 6 that are going to be brought back. One, we have no idea what's going on with Luke Skywalker, and we know that we know that Mark Hamill was on set. So we know at some point he's going to show up in this Rogue Squadron movie, whether it be the last 20 seconds like he did in the other movie, or he has some type of motivational speech or whatever. The other thing is what kind of Vader are we going to get? Because this is a guy who's still in between being Darth, and we see in 4, 5, and 6, and still Anakin, who's learning his, you know, the powers of the Force, and also maybe struggling with the dark side too. You know what I mean? So we don't know what kind of version of Darth Vader we're going to be getting in this film.
We've been told, or it's been talked about that in this film, Darth Vader is going to be much more brutal than he's been in any other scenes. So I don't know how you get more brutal than cutting down a bunch of younglings, but you know, it's they're saying that his on screen stuff is going to be very dark, and so this could be him just falling down the rabbit hole.
So it looks like we're going to be taking off our tin hats for the rest of the evening and all of our theories and possibilities. We're going to have a bunch of these little short mini episodes. If we see something that comes out that we think is really cool, if there's something that posts on a game, or if there's something that breaks in gaming or in movies or film or whatever, could be 10 minutes, could be 20 minutes. This one might be 30 minutes, but we're going to have something and have a reaction to that. As for all of us, Brandon, where can you be found at?
I can be found right here on Geekologist Radio, or you can reach me on my Twitter at @BE_FOUTZ. Damien?
And you can reach me at Mr. Damien Nash, all one word, on Twitter. Also on project_Finrer_gaming on twitch.tv. And as well as we all three man the Geekologist Radio Twitter, minus the T. Twitter, please listen.
Because of character restrictions.
Right there. And, you know, we have our guy that's finishing up after we've had to cut a few times. Stay tuned for the episode of that. So
the blooper reel is coming.
The blooper reel is coming. I'll that is clean up.
What she said.
This is really, really late, so we're finishing up. You can find me on Twitter at TwoWolves, TwoWolvZZ. I'm also at Mulehorn Gaming, where I write, as well as Geekologist Radio, and you can find me on here on this podcast. So for our mini episode, I think the three of us are out of here.